This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program, and again, greetings and welcome to our lesson today. We're certainly glad you've tuned us in, and we trust that the program will bless you, encourage you, perhaps even challenge you. Now, if you'd like to contact me, I will give you my mailing address and my website address at the close of the program. This program is on my website. You can re-listen to it there. You can also email prayer requests from the email address that's given on the website, or you can send requests or comments by regular mail. I have a weekly meditation that you also might find helpful on the website. So if you want those addresses, you'll need a pencil and a piece of paper to write them down when I give them to you at the close of the program. Now, we're doing an overview of the Bible with the desire of whetting your appetite in such a way that you could believe that you yourself could understand the Bible. Perhaps not the technical aspects of the Bible, but the main theme of the Bible. And I think that if you would read the Bible for yourself, instead of reading all these books about the Bible, you would find that you would fall in love with the Lord, and you'd fall in love with the one that's described in the Bible rather than with the one that has often been used by the religious leaders of our day to deceive people. That is, they preach in some cases that if you trust the Lord, you're going to prosper, when the Lord says that if we trust Him, we're to follow Him, and if we follow Him, we're to take up our cross and follow Him. And if we follow the religious leaders of our day, they'll basically try to tell us that a lot of things that Paul said were not appropriate for our day, that they're not convenient for our day, and so we need to disregard them. And you'll just find a bunch of things that are confusing in the world today, because people come to the Bible trying to find a God that would be like them and that would reason the way they reason. But if you read the Bible for yourself, you're going to find yourself constantly getting a mind change. It's called repentance. Constantly finding out that the God you've been told about may not very well be the God that the Lord reveals through the Bible. But if you read for yourself, if you'll read a good version, and then maybe use maybe a more current version in comparison to compare what you're reading, if you do that for yourself and read in context, you're going to fall in love with the Bible, and you're going to fall in love with the author of the Bible, which is the Holy Spirit, and you're going to fall in love with the Lord that Holy Spirit reveals to us, because the theme of our Bible is the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, you're going to be constantly acquainted with the fact that as sinners, we need to be saved. And that's going to be an emphasis not only in your reading of all of these books, but it's going to be an emphasis in the book we're looking at today, the book of Isaiah. Now, Isaiah is considered one of the major prophets. And we've been looking at the books of the law, we've looked at history, we've looked at poetry, we've looked at wisdom, and now we come to the major prophets, and then we'll look at the minor prophets. And the major prophets are called that because of the length of the books that they wrote. The minor prophets are shorter and more to the point. But one of the prophets that has had a major impact upon us is the prophecy of Isaiah. Isaiah prophesied, as near as I can tell, after the northern 10 tribes had been taken captive, and when Judah, which contained Jerusalem, and it was part of the southern 2 tribes that had been allocated to David's descendants, King David's descendants, they were on the verge of going into captivity. They were departing from the Lord as well. As a matter of fact, once the kingdom was divided, you don't find kings that were commendable in the line that ruled Israel. And in the line that rules Judah, you find some commendable kings. You'll find a man by the name of Hezekiah. There was a revival in his day. There's a man by the name of Josiah. There was a revival in his days. And others did some good things, but there was a constant tendency to depart from the principles that had been given to the children of Israel when they were redeemed out of the land of Egypt. And that's the nature of the game. That principle seems to apply today to the church. We're finding that the church itself was vibrant, was Christ-loving, was gospel-oriented, was unified when it first began in Acts chapter 2. But today it's divided, and you can pick up books and find whatever you want to believe in books that are written today. You don't necessarily find what God said in a lot of those books. And some of those books will have some good principles in them from the standpoint of counseling and so forth. But you'll find that you can really find the teacher that appeals to you today. And what I want you to do is to find the teacher that should appeal to you, the teacher we call the Holy Spirit. And I want you to believe that you yourself can gain basic truth from the Bible, and that you yourself do not need to have others, as I would say, teach you in a brainwashing sense as to what you should believe. So it's a joy to be able to read the Bible and to say, God is speaking to me. Now, in the book of Isaiah, we come to Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 2, and the first thing we read there is, "Hear, O heavens, give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me." Now, this is sort of setting the stage for Isaiah's prophecy. Isaiah is sometimes called the gospel of Isaiah because redemption and hope and salvation is found throughout Isaiah. It's in Isaiah that we first, well, not first, but it's in Isaiah that we read of the coming Messiah, that he'd be born of a virgin, and that the Lord would be the wonderful counselor, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, and so on. And it's in the book of Isaiah that we find out that he's going to be the sacrifice that satisfies God. We'll look at Isaiah 53 in a few moments. So Isaiah is a gospel which, if we had no other book in our Bible, it would seem to me that we could come to faith in a suffering Savior who died for our sins at the cross of Calvary. It seems to me that the book of Isaiah is a real problem for those like the Jewish people who want to reject what happened at the cross, because we're going to find that the 53rd chapter of Isaiah describes the cross 700 years before it happened. So he's brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. And there's two points I want to make, that this is telling us that Israel and now Judah have the tendency, have rebelled against the Lord. And it tells me that sometimes those of us who've raised children are a little discouraged with the way they've turned out. We thought we'd raised them right, and they haven't really, in my case, they haven't really rebelled against me, but they've rebelled against what I believe. And I have a good relationship with my children, but they don't all believe what I thought I had taught them about the Bible. And so we find that the best father in all the world, which would be God the Father, has children who have rebelled against him. And that is, just as a side note, a bit of an encouragement if you have children that have rebelled against you. That doesn't mean that you shouldn't ask yourself whether you have some things to make right with your children. God did not, but we might have some things to make right. But no matter how good we are, how reverent we are, how prayerful we are in the raising of our children, we could be like God at raising up children who rebel against us. But as we come to the book of Isaiah, there is a theme, and it's found again in this first chapter, where the Lord says, "Come now, and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your skins are like sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you are willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." That's Isaiah 1:18-20. Now, again, along that same line, that's basically what we preach in the New Testament. We don't preach physical or national blessing. We preach spiritual blessing if we are willing and obedient. But we find in Isaiah 55 another statement that is very evidently a theme in the book of Isaiah. It says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found." Remember, There's a time when the Lord can be found, and it's not after we die. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. There are times in our life when it's quite evident the Lord is near and is speaking to us and wanting our attention. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him. And to our God he will abundantly pardon. And so this deals with our thoughts and what we think about God, and that's where repentance comes in. And the Lord makes it clear that my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And so when we look at this statement, we find out that the necessity of having the Holy Spirit guide us as we read the Bible is because whatever we think is right in a natural way is usually wrong in a spiritual way. And you've heard me say before, what we think is right is wrong. And so we have to have our minds changed. We think we get saved by works, and God says that we get saved by faith, and that will lead to works. But we aren't saved by works. We're saved by the death, by faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And so when we look at the book of Isaiah, I'm just picking out some important points, and there's so many that it would be nice if we could look at them all. Maybe we'll come back to the book of Isaiah and dissect it someday. But I like Isaiah 53 because it says there, who has believed our report? There's that matter of faith again. And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? If you don't remember anything else from what I've said this morning, go back and read this passage for yourself. Isaiah 53 verses 1 through 6. Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But, and remember this, and this is so important, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And I know a good many people who are one day going to be able to have confidence when they meet the Lord in the fact that Christ died for them, because they have confidence in these promises. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And I know that's speaking, first of all, with regard to the Jewish nation, but it was the Romans also that were there crucifying him, and symbolically we were there as well. But the Lord died in order that we might have our sins forgiven. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity or sin of us all. Do you believe that today? I believe that, and I'm thankful for that. And Isaiah gives me confidence that what I believe is the truth. Now, our Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless our lesson today and to bless all who have listened. We thank you for salvation through faith in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in his name. Amen. Now, our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.com, bdcministries.com, and we do thank you for listening.